Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Educational Testing Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, and this came to us from several sources claiming to be answers to questions that 16-year-olds on some tests that 16-year-olds took.
And in one case, these aren't necessarily the SATs or anything, are?
Well, no, because they're open-ended questions.
Oh, okay.
Instead of multiple choice. So here they are. Here's a few of them. Name the four seasons. Some kid answers, salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar. Explain one of the processes by which water can be made safe to drink. Answer. Flirtation makes water safe to drink because it removes large pollutants like grit, sand, dead sheep, and canoes.
Flirtation. That's interesting.
Flirtation, yeah. What guarantees may a mortgage company insist on? If you are buying a house, and this is the answer, if you are buying a house, they will insist that you are well endowed. How are the main parts of the body categorized? Parenthesis, for example, abdomen. Answer. The body is consisted into three parts. The brainium, the borax, and the abdominal cavity. The brainium contains the brain, the borax contains the heart and lungs, and the abdominal cavity contains the five bowels, A, E, I, O.
Well, they may have something. Well, look, if you're shocked at how little some people know, just stick around. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, Tom and Ray. This is Peter in Sitka, Alaska.
Hi, Peter. How you doing,
Peter?
Man?
Well, yeah, I'm doing great. Upright and awake, so it's got to be a good day.
Yeah.
Where, Alaska?
Sitka.
Like Sitka Spruce. Sitka Spruce is famous for guitar tops.
There you go.
Yeah, one of my many imitation Martin guitars is a Sitka Spruce top. Anyway, Peter, what's going on?
Well, I've got an 84 Ford F-250 pickup that I've had since it's brand new. So, you know, it's kind of getting on in years. It's got the big block 460, 7.6 liter engine.
7.6 liters, my God.
Well, you know, wait.
You got
to
have
to move the house back on the foundation later in the spring if we need to.
If you have to, right.
Well, anyway, I really don't drive it all that much anymore. And I went to drive it the other day, checked the dipstick, and there was this gray, gooky oil all over it. So, the last time I drove it, it must have blown a head gasket or something. So I thought, well, the first step would be to drain the oil. I undid the drain plug, and about a gallon, I know this for a fact because my little oil catch pan is just a little over a gallon of what I would consider clean water came out before the gray, goopy oil.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, there was no smell to the oil. It didn't have a greasy, antifreezy feel to it. It was sort of tannin-colored, you know, like you'd get from leaves in a stream. But it was basically clear.
Well, I think you may have recreated the primordial soup.
Yeah, I already threw it away, though. Darn it.
Jeez.
And the last time you started it up, it started?
Yes.
And then that was when?
Well, that was probably, I'm thinking, last fall, like November, early December sometime.
So it sat from December, January, February, March, April, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, there's probably something else I should tell you. I don't really want to, but I'm
going
to.
No, we don't want to be encumbered by the facts here, you know.
Well, I know, but you guys are going to think I'm a moron. I last changed the oil in June of 2001.
Good man.
See, I've kind of taken after you guys, but I've only driven the truck 551 miles since then, so I thought, well, why change the oil? It's not really dirty.
Well, that's the problem. I think because you've driven it so little that you have – the water didn't come in from a leaky head gasket, nor did someone pour water into your crankcase. What happened is – every time you ran it for that little distance that you ran it, you created
water.
You produce water because water is the primary product of combustion.
Okay.
So so on this old clunker, not old clunker.
Well, hey!
Careful now.
Careful.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
You have enough combustion gas getting past the rings to deposit water and carbon dioxide and whatever other products of combustion there are into your crankcase. The water condenses because you never get the thing hot enough to drive the water out. It condenses and stays in the crankcase. Okay, and where of course it sinks to the bottom because water is denser than oil.
Right.
Okay, and that's why the first gallon came out as water. Now, if you had continued this long enough, that is the short distance driving without any oil changes, what eventually would happen is you'd have had a gusher. You would have pulled the dipstick out and oil would have been pouring out of the thing. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it except that
it needs an oil change.
And you did it.
So, do you think I hurt anything? It starts and it runs fine?
You can't hurt this truck.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, well, what you did hurt, I'll be honest, is that when you did drive it with a 50-50 mixture pretty close of water and oil, you were trying to lubricate the bearings with water, which is not a bad lubricant, but it can't hold a candle to oil. You know, so you know, you could, if you had driven it on the highway or at high speed for an extensive amount of time,
you'd have been in trouble.
Yeah, you would have wrecked it.
Yeah, well, you can't do that here anyway, so.
Well, exactly. But I guess that's a good lesson. If you are going to change the oil infrequently, I think you're better off at the very least driving the thing as much as possible.
Or change the oil more often. And that's one of
the recommendations, by the way, in everyone's owner's book. You know, even if you don't drive the car very much in a given year, you should change the oil anyway. Some people say, "Well, I only drive 3,000 miles a year. Should I change the oil, you know, more often?" And the answer is yes, you should to avoid the Peter syndrome.
There you go.
Thanks for your call, man.
Hey, thanks, Don Ray.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Patty from Belmont, Massachusetts.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. Patty with a Y?
Yes, with a Y now, although I've had several permutations with an I-E, but...
Oh, when you were a flower child?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and now that you're living in a very conservative Belmont, you went back to just a plain old Y.
The plain old Y, that's right.
Wow. See, how did you...
Well, it's nice that you have that option.
You were a former flower child of the 60s?
I was.
And you wound up in Belmont.
Isn't it something, huh?
Well, for those who don't know, I mean, Belmont happens to be, I would have to guess, a bastion of conservatism in the liberal Northeast. What do you say?
It's got to be one of the most boring towns that I've ever been close to. I mean, you just drive into that town and your hair starts turning blue.
You guys, that's not fair.
No, it isn't.
No, but it's true.
Anyway, what's up?
Well, I have a 1990 Honda Civic, and it has 125,000 miles on it. And recently, I've started to hear a tapping sound, and it's getting louder whenever I turn the wheel, either to the right or to the left. That seems to be coming from the right front wheel.
Yeah, well, we have no idea.
Okay,
audio.
Thanks for calling. It's been nice talking about Belmont. See you later.
You have a bad axle.
A bad axle?
Yeah, the right front axle needs to be replaced. That's where the noise is coming from, the passenger side front.
Uh-huh.
And the axle is going to break.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you're going to die a fiery death. No.
How long has it been doing this?
I'd say a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Don't buy any green bananas.
Get it someplace. It won't, if it breaks, it won't kill you, but it will leave you stuck.
Okay, good.
So,
yeah.
What made you give up flower childhood?
Yeah.
I had to earn a living, so.
But why do you now, but you didn't then?
I lived off my parents, I guess, back then. It was under their auspices that I was able to be a flower child.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. That's what our kids are doing now. You know, we don't know it, but that's what they're doing. Yeah. Well, it lasted, you know,
if you time things right, you could go from being a flower child, living off your
social
parents,
security,
to being a flower adult, living off your kids.
Ah.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, my kids are old enough to make a living.
Yeah.
Are they, though? No.
No, because they're still mooching.
Because they want to be flower children. By what right, I say?
They came by it honestly.
Well, thanks for providing this insight into the flower childhood movement.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kate calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Hi.
How are you, Kate?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great.
Oh, we're doing just fine. What's going on?
Well, I have an ethical question about a clutch. Sounds strange.
Yeah.
I have a VW Jetta, and a couple weeks ago, I went to a horse race we have here in Charlottesville called Foxfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't drive. I went out with a bunch of friends, and at the end of the day, my best friend and her roommate and I were supposed to leave on a bus.
Yeah.
So towards the end of the day, I'm looking for my friend and can't find her. So I call to find out where they are. And they're like, hey, we're coming to get you. I was like, well, how are you doing that? And they're like, well, we somehow ended up on a bus and now we're driving your car.
Mm.
We're going to come pick you up. And I said, well, I know you're not driving my car because you don't know how to drive stick shift.
She said, like, yes, I am.
Oh, no. She said her roommate's driving, and she does know how to drive stick shift. I said, you sure? She's like, yeah, I'm sure. We're fine. Everything's going well. We're already driving. I'm like, okay. Well, I'll meet you at the front gate. So go out to the front gate. Half an hour later, I call them again because they're not there. And they're like, well, we're down at this church down the road. How about you just come meet us? The police wouldn't let us get to the front gate.
The car won't go anymore.
Yeah. No, they don't mention that.
No, of course not. And the church is, you know, most people don't turn to violence when they're in the presence of a church. So it was good that they chose the church.
Well, I get down to the church. I hitch a ride, and they're not in my car waiting for me. I thought that was strange. So I find them. And they're like, yeah, we get to this stop sign, and your car's all of a sudden it won't go into first gear. And so we jammed it into second and made it up this hill and rolled into the parking lot. And now there's something wrong with the clutch.
Mm.
So needless to say, the clutch was completely gone. Now, my question is, since it's a 95, it had 117,000 miles on the car.
Right.
With the original clutch.
Yeah.
She has offered to pay, like, for the damage if, you know.
She has?
Yeah, she said, you
did
know,
you have to put her
I'll
in a headlock or
part.
Something, or did she just do this willingly?
Well, I was kind of angry. I didn't beat her up in the church parking lot, but it did end up costing about $600.
Sure.
So I just don't want to charge her $600 if it could have possibly just been due to the fact that the car had so many miles on the original clutch.
Well, with 117,000, you were on borrowed time with the clutch.
Okay.
You know, so I think it would be unfair to ask her to pay. I mean, did she admit that she really didn't know how to drive stick shift?
Well, she was like, I don't know. It seemed to be going fine. When I sat in the car to see if the clutch was gone, and the driver's seat was like really close to the steering wheel. So it was almost like, how could you not ride on the clutch?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes if you're driving a car that's unfamiliar to you, it's always good to get real close to the glass.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to ask her to pay more than $100.
That was my number.
Okay.
What might this strain the relationship between you and your best friend?
I would hope not. I don't think so.
Oh, right, I go for $300.
I think you have to charge her $100.
All right.
Because
no, you don't. You don't have to charge her anything.
Not even for stealing my car.
She stole the car. I mean, she didn't. She had no business driving someone else's car. She didn't know what the hell she was going to do.
Yeah.
And I think.
She didn't steal your car. Your best friend stole it and would have driven it herself, except she didn't. Right.
This is a good point.
Except she didn't know how to drive, so she coerced this gal into driving your car and said, you can drive stick shift. And she must have said, no, I can't. Oh, yeah, you can. You
sure
can.
You can
do it. I know how to do it. I'll show you.
When I talked to her, she was like, no, I mean, I know how to drive stick.
I think you should give her $50 for delivering the car to you.
Yeah, sure.
Now, you could certainly say, you know what, forget it. You know, and knowing that at 117,000, you could, the same thing could have happened to you.
For some reason, I'm not in such a generous mood today.
Because
I think that what her friends did was unconscionable. You don't just go steal somebody's car.
Well, no, but you.
Because she's your friend. Especially if you yourself know you can't drive it and you got to find someone else to drive it, and then the someone else wrecks it because she doesn't know how to drive it either. I'm having trouble being so generous to the two of them.
I never knew you were such a jerk. Out of a bar or a car for you.
No, they deserve to pay something.
Okay.
Yeah, boy, I don't know.
I don't know.
Do what you think is best, but I think $100 would be more than enough.
Okay.
To charge, and if you, in my humble opinion, if you just wanted to say, forget it, it's okay.
No lessons learned.
Let's not worry about it because friendship is much more valuable than $100.
Not that kind of friendship.
If you can get $400 from them, then I go for it. Good luck, Kate.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye, guys.
All right, look, it's time to take a break, but when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's murder mystery puzzler.
Ooh, a mystery. I love mysteries. You know?
Oh, yeah, I know. Like how to find both of your butt cheeks in the show. You're still working on that one, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we'll be back in a minute.
All left was Eldorado, Cadillac, yeah, cobalt blue, nearly 5 foot high. You could hardly miss me when I drove by. Going bumper 7 foot wide. Well, I gave every girl in that school a ride. Till I left that town and never came back. In my 57 Eldorado Cadillac.
And even though earplug manufacturers speed up the assembly lines whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. You listening?
No, I was actually reading mail, but you go ahead.
An off-duty policeman is working as a night watchman in an office building. Yeah. He's making his rounds, and he comes upon a closed door. Behind the door, he hears voices, raised voices. An argument seems to be taking place.
Yeah.
He hears someone say, no, Frank, no, don't do it, Frank, no. Followed by three gunshots. Bang, 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 and a thud.
Yeah.
The night watchman, a.k.a. policeman, barges through the door and finds the following. A dead guy on the floor, not breathing. A smoking gun.
On the floor also.
Also on the floor.
Yeah.
And three people in the room, alive and breathing.
Yeah.
A minister, a doctor, and a plumber.
Yeah.
He walks over to the minister and arrests him. How did he know the minister did it? And he didn't have on one of those badges that says, hi, my name is Frank.
No. Have a nice day.
And a smiley face. The answer is, only one of them could have been named Frank because the other two, the plumber and what was the other one? The doctor.
Doctor.
Were women.
Good one. That's a good one.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner is Frank. No, our winner is Robert Mandela from Dothan, Alabama. And for having his answer selected at random from among those thousands of correct answers that we got this week, Robert is going to get the usual, a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our great music CD, Car Talk Cartoons, the Car Talk Compendium of Disrespectful Car Songs. It's quite good, by the way.
Yes, this is the one that has songs like loose wheel. You picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel.
Wheel. And you can't get there from here in Jersey. Another great hit. Plus auto service hell, my bloody Yugo, midlife Chrysler. All the great hits that weren't great until we made them great. And that's it.
Are you done?
Yeah. You want me to be done?
Yeah, very, very much. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half. I might say quasi-automotive. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, am I on?
You are, man.
This is Matt from Richmond, Virginia. How
are you? You know, Matt, for the first 10 years that we did this radio show, those were our first words every show.
Really?
Are we on?
Well, you know, we had a pretty low-tech operation here when we started doing the show. And we had an engineer and us, and that was pretty much it. Now we have a producer, assistant producer. We have a producer in waiting. We have an assistant producer, an assistant producer in waiting. We have a web lackey, and we got, you know, we got menu advisor. We got all kinds of stuff. But in the old days, it was just me, Tommy, the engineer, and the phone. And the engineer would, you know, when the appropriate hour came and the second hand of the clock approached the right time, he would point to us, signifying that we were on, except we weren't sure that he was telling us the truth all the time. So we would ask him, are we on?
And did we get wrong numbers?
It took us about a decade to notice that the red light also came on at the same time he pointed to us.
Hey, there's a red light up there.
There you go.
Is that the red light?
That is the red light.
Get out!
That says on it, you ready for this? On air.
No, does it?
So we're all on, Matt. What can we do for you?
Well, I have a really old Grand Marquis wagon. It's an 89, and it's got about 162,000 miles on it.
Oh, good for you.
It's been working very well, except for 2 months ago, I lost track of fourth gear. It's an automatic, but it just suddenly, when I would go up about 40, 45 miles per hour, instead of shifting into fourth, it would shift into neutral.
Oh, that's bad.
Well, there's also this odd little thing that when the shifter is in the non-overdrive position, I can drive in normal drive and it works fine.
Right.
Wait. When does it work fine?
It has a drive and an overdrive position on the shifter.
Yeah.
It works fine in the drive because it's not trying to get to that fourth gear.
Right. Okay.
See, what happens is it goes up and it tries to get fourth gear, but instead it's, like, neutral and the car just loses momentum until it downshifts.
All right. So when you're in D, it only goes up to 3.
Right, and then it's just this void.
Okay.
Hey, 3 out of 4 ain't bad. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
An 89 Grand Marquis could have...
What?
I don't know if it has a...
What?
It could have a vacuum modulator on the transmission.
Ooh.
And if that is not getting vacuum or if that's broken,
89.
That could keep you from shifting into high gear. But I don't remember that far back.
It could have a vacuum modulator.
It could. If it does, you might be lucky. If not...
Yeah, I'm hoping it's something loose in the shifter.
Yeah, I think your wallet's going to come loose when you find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But get it to a shop and find out if you need a transmission rebuild or something less serious.
Oh, gosh, I hope not.
Good luck, man.
Well, if you do, forget about it, because third gear is fine. I mean, when automatic transmissions first became viable, they only had 2 gears, low and high, and that was it. You now have 3.
Right, but what you don't have is the overdrive gear.
Big deal.
So it does cut into your mileage probably by 20 or 25%, I would imagine.
Well, it doesn't cut into your mileage as much as getting a transmission rebuilt.
Yeah, that'll really cut into your mileage.
Because you won't have any money for gas.
What would you suggest my top speed limit be?
Anything you want.
Oh, you can drive 60. I mean, it doesn't mean you can drive as fast as you want. It's just that the engine will run a lot higher.
Right.
And you'll just get poorer mileage.
And when it comes to transmissions in general, they usually come with far more gears than you really need.
Right. My brother's, that's his theory. One's enough for him. Oh,
hey,
man.
Matt, good luck to you, pal.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, boy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
If you listen to this show, would you call us to get advice?
Not anymore. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amanda from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello, and I have like I think it's a 2002 Nissan Frontier. I'm not sure about the age.
Okay.
And like the front driver's side wheel makes this crazy noise when I go over, even the tiniest like cracks in the pavement or anything. It's like clickety clack, clickety clack, clickety clack. It's like calling your name. Like
Yeah.
So finally, I'm calling to find out what the heck is this thing.
And this obviously is a noise that you can't drown out with your stereo.
Well, actually, I can, and so that's usually what I do. But if I have the window down, I hear it, and it's completely annoying.
And it's worse if you're driving next to parked cars. You probably get the reflection of the sun. Yeah. Could be pretty annoying, huh?
Yes, totally.
You'd really like
to
know what this is, I bet.
Well, and I also need to know if it's safe, because my family is going to be driving from Woodburn, Oregon, where the car is, to Santa Fe, where we're moving to.
Are you going to be in the car?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm already here, but...
Oh, you're already here. So the car is there.
The car is there, correct.
The car is there.
Anytime you get noises coming from a wheel, you got to assume it isn't safe.
Yeah.
Because...
And you should have assumed this maybe months ago when you first started hearing it.
Probably.
But that's okay. We're going to bail you out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think in this situation, it's probably not dangerous. While it could be something like a wheel falling off.
Right.
I doubt that's the case. It probably would have happened by now. It's more likely to be something called a stabilizer link that's worn out.
Okay.
There's a stabilizer bar, which helps to stabilize the vehicle so it doesn't pitch too much on turns.
Uh-huh.
And that bar runs across the front of the frame of the car, or truck in this case.
Right.
And there's a link that attaches that bar to the lower control arm on each side. And one of those links is worn out, so every time you hit even the smallest little bump, you're getting that clink. It sounds like someone rattling loose change in a coffee can.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. So you can have your family live in fear that a wheel's going to fall off and not attend to it. But I think you should take it someplace and at least verify that that's what it is.
Okay, and if it is that, it's not terribly dangerous?
It's not dangerous at all.
Okay.
And it's not expensive to fix either.
Okay, excellent.
So your determination about whether to fix it is mostly determined by what the price will be?
Probably.
No, I'll get it fixed.
Okay.
And how long did you drive it with this noise before you gave it up?
Well, I noticed it probably a year ago.
A year ago?
That's a terrible thing. I mean, how can you live with a noise like that for a year and not be worried sick?
Well, when I'd hear it, I would be worried. But when I had my stereo on loud, I couldn't hear it. I wouldn't worry about it.
Amanda, this is from the guy who for 8 months drove a car whose windshield wipers worked when they wanted to. And I'd say, how can you drive this car when you know the windshield wipers are not likely to work when you want them? He said, he mumbled.
It hardly ever rains around here.
Anyway, get it looked at, Amanda. You'll feel better.
I will.
And
thank
it'll
you
be
so
cheap.
Much.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it'll be like $100 or
okay,
less.
Okay, I can do that.
All right.
You can
all
do
right.
it. I know you can.
Bye.
Thank you.
888-CAR-TALK.
No, but how can people drive around for a year with a noise that they have no idea about? What is it? I don't know what it is. Could be the wheel falling off. I'm just going to keep going.
Well, here's what happens. The wheel doesn't fall off.
I know.
Days and days go by.
But don't you ever think about
what... It's like when you look in the mirror, you say, I got to do something with this hair. You never do. 888-CAR-TALK.
When was the last time
you had someone do something with that head of hair?
What are you talking about?
There you go.
Perfect.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. It's becoming a national crisis. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sven from Lake Worth, Florida.
S-V-E-N.
That's correct.
Okay, we're with you.
What's up?
I have a question for you. I've always dreamed of owning an early 60s Austin Healey.
Uh-huh.
And I have a friend of mine that, as my luck would have it, he owns the car of my dreams.
Oh.
He's got a 62 Austin Healey 3000.
Oh, man.
Now, the downside is that it's been stored in his garage for about the last, 25 years.
Yeah.
And it has not been driven.
Well, perfect. It hasn't been worn out. Right?
Yeah.
That's true. But my question is how I could get you guys to give me some suggestions as to how John would sell the car. And Tommy, since I know you love MGs and have driven them, what can I expect as far as problems or repairs to make this car drivable?
Well, I don't know. What kind of shape was it in 25 years ago when he put it in there?
See, that's the problem. I get the impression from him that the car, something happened, and I don't know what.
Oh, no, something and always happens.
And that's why it ended up getting put in the garage and stored. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'll get to it.
Okay. And time dims the memory.
Exactly.
So there was some cataclysmic event.
Well, I haven't seen the car. He won't even show it to me because it's
might be frightening.
Piled with stuff and junk and up on blocks. And
but does he not remember what happened to it 25 years ago?
No. Or if he does, he won't.
He won't. No, he's blocked it out. He's blocked it. Look at, I got to say this about these kinds of cars.
Yeah.
If you've owned a car like an Austin Healey or an MG like my brother has owned or Triumphs, all those other jalopies he's owned, you're used to a constant barrage of breakdowns. There's not a day that goes by that something catastrophic doesn't happen.
If you're not pushing that every day, something's wrong.
So you can only imagine.
What's nice about it is it's very light.
But you can only imagine what must have happened to cause this thing to be put into the garage 25
right.
years ago. It must have been such a major ordeal
that
he threw his hands up and said, oh, my God.
I'll never fix it.
And, of course, he had to block it out because he was being tormented by it. He couldn't sleep at night. And he eventually blocked it out. So whatever is wrong with this car is going to be a nightmare to fix. That's my prediction. But
well, that's probably true, and that's the joy of it. No, it really is. I mean,
well,
if you could get it, you have a place to keep it?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a garage that you can put
the thing
up on blocks?
For the next 20 years?
Well, my wife has always said, you know, whenever I've inquired as to our, you know, buying a car like John's.
Yeah.
Her question was, you know, well, where are you going to park it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we built a garage, so that problem is solved.
Excellent. Here's what I'll do.
Yeah.
When the winter comes here in the great frozen north, I will come down to Florida.
Okay.
And we will get the car from his garage to your garage.
Okay.
And then we'll figure out what's wrong with it.
Okay.
And we'll figure out where to get the parts. And we'll get started.
Right, and then 5 years later, you might drive it.
Okay.
Well, that's right. It might be 5 years.
No. I mean,
what do you care? It's better that somebody's working on it than it's
true.
Just sitting there dying.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to put it in your garage for the next 25 years. Then you can sell it back to him. So it doesn't make any difference what you pay for it.
No, he's going to
because you're going to get the money back in 25 years.
He's going like to have to get it away from me.
It's like an annuity.
Because when I go out for that test drive, I'm going to go directly to 95 North.
Okay.
All right, Sven, I think whatever it costs, you should do it. But you can do some research and find out what this thing is worth. But unless he can be a little more specific about letting you see it and giving you some idea what led to its winding up in storage, I'd be reluctant to offer him very much money for it. And I think you need to talk to his wife.
Okay.
You need to find out how desperate she is to get rid of it. Because if she really is desperate, you have a very big bargaining chip.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what led to my brother's 4 divorces. Yeah, and maybe she, if she's been around long enough, is she wife number 1, 2, or 3?
I think she's wife number 1.
Yeah, but
one.
He's only known her half as long as he's owned the car.
Right.
So she's known.
Oh, she's no help, yeah.
No.
You might have to talk to his 8th grade teacher. Anyway, try to get to the bottom of what happened to this thing before you put any money on it. And you can take it someplace and have somebody see if they can fire it up.
Okay.
You know, if it's...
No, we will do that. We'll do that when I come down there.
Okay.
What do you mean, we? You're not including me.
He and I.
Oh, and you're going to live in the garage with the car? You can sleep in the car.
What do I care?
I guess not. Sven, he'll be there in the morning. See you later, man.
All righty. Thanks for your help.
Take care.
I'll give you a call.
Bye-bye. Hey, I think it's time for us to take a little break. I think my brother needs a little rest. He hasn't been himself today.
What do you mean? I've been helpful, concise. I've even given out a couple of right answers.
Like I said, you're not yourself today.
We'll be back with more of your calls and a brand spanking new puzzler as soon as my brother comes up with one.
Which will be just a minute, so stay tuned.
Well, I looked at the woman hung there beside me. Thought that this must be a dream. She was young and pretty, so darn healthy. Poured quite well in her jeans. Well, we stumbled to my pickup. She whispered, hurry up, as we drove down the road towards my bed. Then I started crying when my rear wheel went flying. to leave me loose wheel. One willing woman, this can't be for real. I wouldn't mind a hubcap, bumper, or a mud flap. But why, oh why my rear wheel? You picked a fine time to leave me loose wheel.
And even though Goodwill Industries gets a rash of donated radios whenever we say it, this is NPR.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzle.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I got to tell
this you. This was quasi-automotive, you promised.
Yeah, I know it is. And this email was sent by a fellow named John Whittier, and it was sent recently.
Get out. Oh, I know what happened. The pile turned upside down.
Evidently.
Yeah.
And he writes, this is the season for Cub Scouts all over the country to hold their Pinewood Derby races.
Oh, not another one of these. We got into a lot of trouble the last time we discussed this.
I know, but...
Go ahead.
That's behind us now.
Yeah.
He adds parenthetically, like a number of cars I have owned, the Pinewood Derby cars only go downhill. Anyway, my two sons built their cars and wanted to compete against each other at home prior to the real race.
Hmm.
I built a simple racetrack using materials I had on hand. I only had material to build a one-lane track.
Yeah.
But not to worry. I had planned to run the cars individually and use a stopwatch to time each car. So son A would put his car at the top and let it go. I'd start the watch, right? And when it got across the finish line, boom, boom, boom. But when we attempted to hold races, I discovered that the cars traversed my very short track in such a short time that I could not start and stop the watch fast enough to accurately measure the times such that we could really determine which car was faster.
Yeah.
My younger son, who was 8 years old at the time, came up with a solution. Now, all we had was the two cars, obviously, the test track, which we know is kind of short, okay, mm-hmm. The stopwatch, and the three of us, the two boys and mm-hmm. myself. What solution did he come up with?
To figure out which car is faster.
Which car is faster. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. This gets a prize for cleverness. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $21 bill. Send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 022. 38, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything else, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-822-782555. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Derry calling from Red Lodge, Montana.
Derry?
Derry, yep.
How do you spell that?
D-A-R-I.
D-A-R-I.
Oh.
Dari. See, I would call it. See, on the East Coast,
we would say Dari.
Dari, not to convince you at the place
she can say it any way she wants. Well, it's not your name. It's her name.
I'm trying to help out here, but I wouldn't want to confuse you with some place where cows that give milk are kept.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm from Massachusetts, and so my mom would agree with you guys.
She would.
Is this a nickname or is this your whole name?
Nope, that's my whole name, and my middle name is Tuck because I was born on Nantucket.
Oh,
Derry,
have you got a couple of hippies for parents?
Well, you know, it was back in the 60s, so I suppose.
They sound like a couple of wackos.
And where does Dari come from?
Oh, my mom made it up, which kind of goes with the whole hippie
idea.
And where are you from now?
Red Lodge, Montana.
Red Lodge, Montana.
Montana.
What are you doing there?
Actually, my husband and the kids were getting ready to move to Wyoming this summer.
Really?
Yep.
And what did you name your kids, if I may dare to ask?
We named them McKenna and Colton.
Oh, that's not terrible.
I mean, no, not too hippie.
Not too hippie. do they have middle names, the kids?
Oh, they do, but we digress.
No. What's McKenna's middle name?
McKenna's middle name is Daisy.
Daisy.
Daisy with a D.
Yeah, we got it.
And what's the other kid's name? Colton what?
Colton James.
James? What kind of a crazy name is that?
All right. Well, we've given you a hard enough
calling.
Time. Is there anything we can help you with?
Well, the funny thing is you've heard the expression, the sky is falling.
Yeah.
In this case, we got a call from the dealer in Billings that the truck is falling. And the truck, we brought our truck to a dealership in Billings to get a sensor replaced. And we got a call that it fell 5 feet off the hydraulic lift.
Oh, what kind of an inept moron could drop a vehicle off a lift?
I know, and apparently the mechanic that was working on it is like NBA, you know, height. So it was like up as high as it could go.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, boy.
What kind of truck is it and how old is it?
Well, it's a 2001 Chevy Silverado. And, of course, in Montana, we use it as our plow truck. So there was a couple hundred pounds of sandbags in the bed.
Oh.
So how much damage was done to the truck? Is it gonzo?
It has about $6,000 worth of damage to it.
Ah.
And they're willing, of course, to repair it, you know, covering their costs.
Yeah.
But we have kind of our issues are, since we're getting ready to move, we don't know if we should keep the truck.
Yeah.
We don't know if we should trade the truck in with them for another used truck. We don't really want to pay for a new truck.
Right.
And then we don't know if maybe we should just sell it ourselves. And do we really have to tell someone what happened to it?
Oh, you got to tell. Let me see. Well, the windshield has a couple of scratches. And I fell off the lift.
We just need some advice from you guys. We don't know what to do with this truck that's been in an accident.
The funny part of it here is that the place that dropped it is also the place that told you what's wrong with it and the place where it's going to be fixed.
And that's
a kind of a funny combination.
Yeah, that smacks of conflict of interest, you know?
Yeah, they should not be the ones who are estimating what's wrong with it because they're the ones that did it.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. I would certainly take it someplace else. I have to tell you, I had a little mishap one day, and I dropped a vehicle off the lift.
You didn't.
Yeah, I did. And it was not a truck. It was instead a Nissan Z, an older one.
Mm.
And it was totaled. And the reason it got totaled, maybe very different from the circumstances surrounding your truck, even though it fell from about the same distance. Number one, your truck has a full frame, and as such, it probably didn't rack the body so that the frame turned into a parallelogram. The Nissan did.
Oh, okay.
And it was not fixable. But your truck probably suffered more body damage, and also the Nissan was very old, and the body was rusted, so it distorted
crumbled
a lot more readily.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, I haven't seen the thing, so you have to take it some other place.
Okay.
And just take it to an independent body shop. And tell them what happened and get an estimate. And if they say, oh, the frame is, you know, is bent, and that may be the first thing they would do, I'd send it to an alignment shop and see if the frame is in fact bent. And if it is, that should be the first thing you should try to fix.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they think it's about $6,000 worth of damage.
Yep.
It doesn't, that sounds awfully low to me.
Well, so it was on the way up on the lift.
Actually, I think it was up there, and the way they explained it was that the teeth in one of the supports gave way, and then it kind of got hung up, and then it kind of crashed down.
Yeah, I'm sure there were a few tense moments in the shop. See, when I dropped the car off the lift, it was ba-da-boom. There was no hanging there. It just fell right off the lift. So, jeez. Yeah, now I would take it some other place. I don't think I'd trust these guys. Tell them, look, it's not a matter of trust, but you need a second opinion because you're moving away, and you want to make sure that when something goes wrong, you're not going to be able to come back to these guys.
Right.
Because it's not going to be practical. So you have to make sure that the truck is A1, and not that you don't trust them, but you can certainly take it someplace else, get another opinion, and then take it back to these guys to have them fix it. Or, better than that, their insurance will pay for it.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, their insurance, if they don't have insurance, they'll pay for it out of pocket.
Okay, and it's easy enough to fix? Like, if they say they fixed it, it can be fixed?
Oh, if it's fixed and aligned,
okay,
then it's okay.
Then it'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but just in case, trade it in. No. Oh, good luck, Derry.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Great to talk to you.
Same here.
Tell me this. When the customer came in to get the car that you dropped.
He didn't come in.
He didn't?
Well, not. No, he's too busy crying. No, I called him on the phone, and I had done other work to the car already. I told him, I said, I already changed the oil, and we fixed a coolant leak, and I dropped the car off the lift. And I don't think he was that upset until I started laughing. And I was laughing because, you know, you have that giddy laughter that you have when you've escaped death. And if for 1 second I could have been under the car.
Yeah.
And you would have been doing the show all by yourself for the last 15 years. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I was very lucky, and I conveyed that to him with my laughter.
And?
He didn't take kindly to that.
He didn't?
No. No, he didn't.
And did he bring any big guys to come with
him?
He
was a pretty big guy. But he, no, that's, I don't.
But was he angry? Was he?
Well, let's put it this way. He's never come back.
That's all I wanted to know.
888 Hard Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Little did he know that I would make his car famous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Todd in Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Todd. Hey. What's going on in Orlando, Florida?
Well, I've got a dilemma.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I convinced my girlfriend, who was in need of a car, to buy an older car because it was big, safe, and easy to work on.
Uh-huh.
What was it?
It was 1973 Ford LTD.
I think I've owned a couple of those in a previous life.
Yeah.
So you're no longer speaking, I take it.
Well, he's speaking, but she's not.
Did she move out?
You could say that. You could say that. The car has started belching black smoke and backfiring, and I can hear her coming minutes away. The last time she came over to the condo to visit, it backfired severely and gave the neighbor's cat a heart attack. The cat died.
Really?
Yes. And, so I'm getting letters from the condo association, and to make matters worse, we had the bright idea of trying to get the neighbor a new cat. There's a stray in the condos that doesn't have a tail. My girlfriend named him Stumpy, so we seduced him in the house. As soon as I shut the door, he mauled me mercilessly.
Yeah, well, because he's a wild cat.
Apparently.
Yeah.
He jumped in the fish tank and ate about four fish, and that's all in about 20 seconds.
Todd, you got to quit while you're ahead, man, and you ain't ahead at this point. So quit before you fall any farther behind.
Well, that's why I'm calling. Now I'm trying to save my happy home.
Yeah. What do you want from
us? My happy relationship.
So you want to know what's wrong with the LTD?
No, you want to know what's wrong with the cat.
Both.
Well, the cat, oh, I'm sure you're
happy home, and my friend's under the impression that I'm the best mechanic that ever lived with this old car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
Your reputation is at stake here. If I had to guess, I'd say this vehicle is the right age to have a timing chain that's jumped. This has a 351 engine in it, and I'm pretty sure this had a plastic gear on the cam.
Didn't you have an LTD?
I used to. It caught fire in a... Yes, in
Montreal.
What are
the chances of that?
In the hotel. But anyway, I think you have a timing chain, that's jumped. And that would explain the backfiring, the belching smoke. I'm sure it runs lousy.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the easiest way to determine whether or not the chain is jumped is to put a timing light on it.
Okay.
And you're going to find out that the timing mark is nowhere to be found. In other words, when you hook the thing up to number one cylinder, every time that light flashes, it's supposed to illuminate the timing mark, and it's supposed to show up on the grid. I don't know what the spec is for this thing, but I'm guessing you're not going to be able to find the mark. It's going to be so far off, it's going to tell you the chain has jumped.
You can do this, but...
What's your level of... How would you assess, on a scale of 1 to 5, your level of mechanical expertise or competence?
I'd say I'm a shade tree mechanic on the far end of the pasture.
On the far end... Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, getting the crank pulley off is going to be...
This is not easy.
That's going to be the biggest stumbling block. That's going to freeze you right in your tracks right there.
Okay.
So when you can't get that off, you'll have to take it someplace. But the good news is, this is easy to do, given the right tools. And it's a few $100 job.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's worth doing.
Oh, yeah, because...
I mean, how many miles are this thing?
You'll never replace those fish, but it'll get your girlfriend back in the house. Good luck, Todd. And I hope they don't drum you out of the Condo Association.
Well, thank you, guys.
All righty. And by the way, this just to add a little salt to the wound, this is not, even though it's a big car, it's by no means anywhere near as safe. I mean, I'd rather be driving a Hyundai Accent than driving this thing.
Yeah, which is a quarter the size of this, but it has airbags.
Yeah, a brand new one, because it has, you know, side airbags. It has so many things that this vehicle doesn't have. You know, anti-lock brakes and things which this LTD, you know, doesn't possess.
That's a very good point. Well, I appreciate that.
So I would fix it up and sell it, and then buy her a modern car with, you know, airbags and anti-lock brakes and the like, and I think she'll be a lot safer.
Yeah, she'll visit you more often too.
Good luck, Todd.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck.
Oh, man.
He's gonna need it. Oh, tried to lure the cat in. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kara McKnight. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Seneca Lake Rump Steak Sponge Cake Milkshake Brand Flake Shake and Bake, is John Buzzy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hertz. Our caffeine addiction counselor is Bruno Moore. Our furnace repairman is Levon Coates. Our sidewalk clothing vendor is Chip Pants. Our tolerance quality control guy is Nat Sass. Our official spokesperson is Howie Vasev. Our big band leader is Juan Anatou. Our Russian chauffeur is Pikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the jaywalkers with pedestrian rage in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this.
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1219, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, emergency backup Car Talk.
That's right. Don't forget that if you ever miss Car Talk, unintentionally that is, of course, you can always catch up by stopping by the website and grabbing the podcast. And here's an added bonus. If you listen with your earphones, you'll never be exposed for your awful taste in radio.
I like it.
More Car Talk anytime you want it over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR landscaper takes a long, hard look at his wood chipper whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.